Kind of relax now. Lean back. Let's talk about things that are godly. Things that really affect our well-being. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This comes from the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 7th verse. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Have you ever considered that statement really and truly? Have you ever gone back and thought about the things that you and I have the opportunity to look at and to say, well, we have to make a decision and consider it. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church one time, and then when I was gathering up my facts and getting my notes together here, I thought about it. When Paul was writing there in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, this is what I call the love chapter. And when Paul made a statement there in this fashion, he said, "And when I was a child, I thought as a child." And you know, that's sometimes applicable to members of God's church. We have not progressed past the thinking as a child sometimes. And the thing about a child is, it's either my way or no way, or I'll pitch a temper tantrum and I'll have a fit and so on and roll on the floor if I don't get my way. Folks, in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have a standard. We have a word of God printed on paper for us, and this is the way that we should go. How in the world do you think? What do you think about the churches of Christ? About the gospel plan of salvation? Do you think it is confirmed by the blood of Christ? It is purchased body of Christ wherein we find salvation? Well, of course it is. But today I am afraid I am an older senior citizen. I may not see it, but I am scared to death for the future of the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The people, the youngsters, are being led away from us and being taught to think in veins of vanity, of selfishness, and away from the things that is love and peace and mercy. Things that God's Word tells us about. And there we find sometimes, though, the maturity factor is left out of our families. And we think as children. We still think as children. And if you will, go with me, and I want to show you something. Sometimes Christians are guilty of this. Of hatred, and holding grudges. As a man, I told you to remember this. If you don't remember anything else, remember this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There you find Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, the 7th verse. Make it something that you carry with you today. And think about it. I want you to go back with me and let your mind go back across the years now. You've got to sit real still. And you've got to concentrate. And you can do it. I want you to go back with me as the years pass away and you fall away. And we're going back and we're standing here with Samuel. And this Second Samuel is the book that I'm carrying you to. There we find in the 13th chapter, 13th, 14th, and 15th chapters. I want you to go home and read them. Because there we find is a story. A story of how that hatred was formed, was held in the heart of man and brought about murder and rape and things of this nature. As a man thinketh in his heart. All right, are you ready? Are you there? All right, I'm going to introduce you to these people. First of all, there was a girl involved. Her name is Tamar, T-A-M-A-R. She's a very lovely girl. She's a beautiful woman. And she is the daughter of a king. And so it was that we have another man there. His name is Amnon, A-M-N-O-N. And you will go there and find that he is the brother to this girl. And their father is David. But wait, there's another son involved. And here this individual is going to be named Absalom. Now you remember those three, Tamar, and then we've got Absalom, and then Amnon. Now this beautiful little girl is a virgin. She is pure. She's clean. And she's got a brother named Amnon that looks upon her with lust in his heart. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said that a man that looketh upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Amnon has got a problem. He looks at this girl and he lusts after her. He wants her so badly, physically. He's moping around. He's just like a sick dog. One of his friends, Jonadab, comes to him and says, "What in the world's the matter with you?" He said, "I'm in love. I want this girl and I can't have her." Jonadab says, "Why, you sure can. You're the king's son. What do you mean you can't have her?" "Well, I just wish that I could have her for my own physical needs." Jonadab says, "All right, I'll tell you how to do this." See, the Bible says, and Jonadab was a very subtle individual. That means he's crafty. He's sneaky, as we'd say today. He said, "I'll tell you how to handle this. You pretend to be sick. And you go in there and you lay down and say, 'Oh, I need some food,' and have this young girl, Tamar. Have her come in and cook for me. Send everybody else out of the room. Just she and I will be here, and when she comes in and she's making the bread and she's cooking it and she brings to me, then she's yours. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And so it was. This precious young woman, so willing to help this man, thinking he was ill, goes in, cooks the bread. She's there, and Amnon says to all these people in there, "All the men, leave out. Get out of here. Just you, Tamar, you stay. I want you to cook some bread for me." And then as she brought it to his bed, he says, come on. Everybody's gone. Come on, lay down here with me." She says, "I can't do that. Why, how terrible it would be for me to do this." He didn't listen to a word she said. He forced her. He took her. He ruined her life. And she left there crying, weeping bitterly because of what he had done. And the Bible says, and he hated her after he had finished abusing her. Ran her off. "Get this woman out of here. Shut the door. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." But the brother comes on the scene now. This individual here that you're going to know, Absalom. Absalom asks his sister, he says, "What's the matter, honey? What's going on? Did Amnon bother you?" "Yes." And the Bible says there that Amnon didn't hear the voice of this man, Absalom, again for 2 years. Hatred was boiling in this heart. He could not see this man without thinking of what this man had done to his sister. Hatred. 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 24 months, 2 years, the Bible says, and Jonadab spoke not good or evil. He didn't even hear the voice. They didn't exchange words at all. But there was in that heart, the devil is at work. He's planted the seed of hatred. And Jonadab here is going to, and Absalom is going to have a real problem. Because there we find now Jonadab has become a murderer in his own heart. And he goes to his daddy David and he says, "Dad, it's time for the sharers and I want Amnon to go down here with us." Now this is the first time we find Amnon coming into the picture with respect to Absalom, this boy talking about him. He said, "I want him to go with me." Or his father says, "You don't need to take him with you. Why do you want him to go?" "Oh, I just think it would be great for him to go." But let me tell you something. You know what happened and what he wants to happen and what he has planned to happen. He's taking his friends. Absalom is taking his friends down there. And he says to his servants, "That man, I want you to kill him. And here when I tell you to kill Amnon, you do it." And they said, "Oh, we can't do that. Oh, no, he's the king's son." He said, Absalom said, "I am the king's son. I have commanded it. You do it." You see what all this has led up to? In the mind, rape was occurring. In the mind, murder is being set forth. In the mind, a family is distraught and torn apart simply by thinking a thing of this nature. It disrupted the whole thing. Absalom then is so filled with hate that he is later going to be found rebelling against his own father. A terrible situation. But let me give you some more examples real quickly of some individuals in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. There was another time. God Almighty is holding David's hand, as it were, and he loved David. David was a man after God's own heart. He is the king. And God says to David, I don't want you to go out and number the people. But David, for some reason or another, somehow or another, has gone against God's plan. You see, I sat down and I tried to place myself back here with David. David, do not go out here and count the number of soldiers that can raise the sword, pull the bow, or fight the fight. Why, God? Why didn't you want him to do that? Because God is taking care of the Israelites. God is taking care of his people. Now, when they go out there and they find out how many soldiers can fight, they're going to say, we can do it on our own. We don't need God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what does David do? He calls Joab in there and he said, Joab and all of the captains of his army, he said, I want you to go count the number of soldiers we've got in our family in the Israelite nation. I want you to go count them. Joab says, what? King David, you don't want me to do this. God does not want this done. He has told us. So the captains in the army and Joab, the chief of staff, says, we don't need to do this. David said, I want it done. He is the commander in chief, as it were. And he said it, and they did it. And for 9 months, these men go out. They go from city to city and town to town and everywhere. And they come back and they've got 1,300,000 soldiers. That's a great big army at that time. And so it would have been that David, the king, thinking how many soldiers we've got that can pick up the sword, that can pull the bow, that can fight. We don't need anybody else. As he thought it, he pulled away from God. And God says to him, what have you done? Joab was against it. The captains were against it. But David declared it. I want it done. And it was done. And when he comes back, God says, David, you made a terrible mistake. I told you not to do this. Now, as a result of it, you're going to have to pay a penalty. You're going to have to go here to a situation that is just unbecoming. And when we find there that, that he's going, if you want to go with me to the 24th chapter, you may do so. Here's what is the result. As this man thought in his heart, and contrary to God's will, he did it his way. And when he did, here's where the trouble comes in. And God's speaking to him, and David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that what I have done. Well, yes. Yes. Now you realize it, don't you, David? Now you're thinking properly again, aren't you, David? Yes, I am. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done foolishly. And I took a red pencil, and I've marked my Bibles, and I marked that foolishly about 5 times around. Boy, you really did foolishly. Does it carry a penalty? Does it carry a result? Yes, sir. Now we go just a little bit farther. We're over in 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. And there we find, and when David was up in the morning, the Lord God sent through his prophet Gad, and here's what he told him. He said, David, I'm going to present 3 things to you. I'm in the 10th verse there. You come down. Some of you might have your Bible and want to follow me to confirm what I'm saying. That's fine. I do not hesitate at all to encourage you to do that. As you come here, and this is what the Lord said. So Gad came to David and told him and said unto him, this is going to be a choice that David will have to make. First of all, the first one is 7 years of famine. Now remember, all of this is a result of David's disobedience to God's commandment. David thought it would be all right. He thought within himself, well, I'm doing a great job. I'm doing a great thing. I need to know how many soldiers I've got. God says, it doesn't matter. I'll take care of you. David violated the trust God placed in him and he expected from David. And so now he says, all right, as a result, I'm going to let you choose your own punishment. How would you like that? If you went out here and robbed a bank or you shot somebody or you took a life or whatever and you stood before the judge, Jerry's a judge, and we'll say, Jerry looked down at you and he'll say, all right, I'm going to give you a choice. You can either die by hanging, electrocution, or injection. Well, that's neither one going to be favorable, but all three are consequences of the crime that I had committed. That's exactly where I found David this week, this past week, when I was studying and thinking about it. He's got to choose now. Which one is it going to be? The first choice is this. All right, David, here's the first thing. First of all, you can have 7 years of famine that will come upon the land. Wow, 7 years of famine. Do you know what that means? That's 7 years of doing without. Famine is not something that you want to engage in. You're deprived of food, clothing, shelter, protection, whatever. Famine is a terrible, terrible thing. So 7 years of it? No, I don't think so, Lord. What's the second one? All right, the second choice, second of the three, is this. 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you. In other words, you're not going to win a single battle and you're going to fight every day for 3 months, 90 days, with the enemies that you abhor, that you hate, but they are trying to kill you every one of those days. You are running before your enemies. Well, okay, Lord, you said there was three. What's the third one? The third one is the pestilence in the land. Pestilence, disease. You know what the result of disease, plague, things like this? Death. Now, friends, the point of this is, another point that I would make is, sin is never without a price. It will have its price. You may not like it. You may turn your back and say, it's not so, I can get away with it. You will not. Neither did this man that was after God's own heart, identified in the Bible. So what's the third one? All right, the first one, I don't think we want that 7 year business. And then the second one, the 3 months of being persecuted and driven by my enemies. No, what's the third? All right, here's the third. And then the pestilence there. 3 days, only 3 days. Man, I believe I could stand anything 3 days, don't you? I think I could stand just about anything. And that's the one he chose. But friends, if you go just a little bit farther, down to the 15th verse, you'll see that 70,000 people lost their lives as a result of this man not making a good decision. As a result of his sending forth his captain of his army and those that followed after him to disregard God's instructions, 70,000 people lose their lives because of one man. One man decided he'd do it his way. That is terrible, but that's the Bible. Scripture always tells us that there's a price to pay when we transgress the law. Now, let your mind just a minute. Let's go back to the book of Joshua. Joshua is the individual that takes over the leadership when Moses dies. You're aware of that. But did you know in the 24th chapter, which is the last chapter of the book of Joshua there, as you're going back into 14th, 15th, and 16th verses, I sure do like the way this man's thinking. Joshua and Caleb, yeah, you all know them, don't you? You all met them 40 years ago. When all of those spies were sent out and all of them came back and they were wringing their hands and crying and tears and, oh, we just can't do it. We can't conquer the land. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go get them. The people said, are you out of your mind? We can't do that. And they went to their tents weeping all night. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. The people says, take them out and stone them. They don't know what they're talking about. Stone these two men. They're going to get us in trouble. That same Joshua now, 40 years later, God has said, Moses, I want to show you something. He takes him up into Mount Nebo area and he brings him up to the top of the hill. And he says, look over here, Moses. You see all of this land. That's where you would have been had you not disobeyed me. He didn't go in. That's like working for me for 40 years, folks. And I'll tell you, at the end of 40 years, I'm going to give you $1 million to retire on. And then when you get to the 40th year and the day comes for retirement, I say, sorry about that. I don't have $1 million. And if I did, I wouldn't give it to you because you didn't do your job right. How devastating would that be to you, friends? That's just exactly what Moses saw. And he died there. Joshua now is the leader. And Joshua is a man that is, as you start the book of Joshua, be brave, be diligent, be strong, trusting in God. Now come to the last chapter of the book of Joshua. And there you see he's called all of these people together. And he's given them a choice. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve God. He made a decision, and boy, he stuck with it. In the face of all of these strange gods that the people had worshipped, Joshua says, that's your problem. That's the way you think, but as for me and my family, we will serve God. Finally, our time's about gone, and I bless your heart. You've listened so attentively. Let me give you one more example of an individual that made a terrible mistake in his thinking processes. Are you listening? Okay. Come back with me to the New Testament time. Come back just a few years ago as we count time. And Jesus was walking on this earth. And that is there in the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. If you want to go there, you may do so now. There was a man that is an example of what you and I sometimes consider ourselves to be. Matthew, Mark, Luke is the gospel that I want you to go to. 12th chapter. Are you there yet? If so, you're going to notice that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is going to tell us a story. And in this story, he's going to tell us about an individual that really and truly represents many of us. There, look with me, 16th verse. And Jesus spoke a parable to them and he told them a story. That's all a parable is. Let me paraphrase it just a little bit, will you? Our time goes so fast. Jesus said, let me tell you a story about a man that was a farmer. He was a very successful farmer. Some of you all have farmed, and you folks up on the hilltop, you all might have had a garden or something of it. You know what I'm talking about. There was a man that was a farmer, and he had a big farm. I mean, he had a farm that was out of this world, apparently, in this story that Jesus told. And he put out his crop, and it was so abundant. He looked out there and he said, man alive, look what a crop I've got. What am I going to do with all of this? Well, I never did have that problem when I was trying to grow a crop, let me tell you. Mine was, where in the world am I going to get something to eat? But this man had it. Jesus, what's your point? What's your point? Let me finish the story, Jesus says. This man has so been so successful. He walks out there and he looks around Jerry and he says, I've got a real problem. My problem is, I've got so much goods, I don't have any place to put it. Have any of y'all got that problem? Have you got so much money you just don't know what to do with it? See me after the service if you have. This man looks out there and he says, I've got so much, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn. This old barn's not big enough, so I'm going to tear it down. And then I'll build a bigger barn here and here, and I'll put all of my stuff in. Y'all got any stuff at your house? I got a lot of stuff. My wife calls it junk, but I call it stuff. But he looked out there and he saw all of this, and it represents his wealth. Oh, he's successful. I'll just build some bigger barns. I'll put it over there and then I'm going to retire. And I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. What are we saying? Eat, drink, and be merry. Just do what you want to do for a while. You've worked hard, you're successful, and all that. But wait a minute. I think I found something else here that's not going to sit too well with this man. And in the 20th verse there, God hears all of this, as it were, in this story. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose will all of these things be that you provided? Folks, where is your treasure? Where is it really and truly? I don't know your heart. And don't think that my preaching is frivolous. It's not. It's very sincere and very honest and very heartfelt when I tell you that God has to be in our thinking processes every day of our life. In everything that we touch, in every hour that we live, God has to be part of it. This man made the mistake of not caring about other people. He was selfish, egotistical, successful, whatever you want to hang a tag on him. That's all right with me. But God called him a fool because in his thinking processes, he put things that were material in place of immaterial, which was salvation. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Let's make a deal. Wasn't there a show on television somewhere like that one time? Let's make a deal. Okay, let's make a deal. You want to sell your soul? What do you give? What do you take? Name it. In the 4th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus is set on a rock, as it were. And Satan is saying here, he says, name it. If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you anything you want. He lost the deal. God, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my face. Get away from me. Do you say that when you're tempted? When I'm tempted, do I say that? Your temptations may be a lot different than mine. And mine might be a lot different than yours. Nevertheless, my adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. He comes to the church buildings to feast on the souls of those individuals that have failed to serve God according to God's plan. This man says, I'll keep it all. God says, you'll give it all up tonight. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Name the price. Say, no. You want pleasure? Okay, we can take care of that. Give you anything you want. Live like you want to. Live like the devil. But you'll pay for it. God loves you. So do I. I do not mean to offend your intelligence, nor to question your integrity. But this morning, if you're here, I want you to understand, God really loves you. He does. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're not a member of God's family, I want you to seriously think about it. Why are you not? That's your decision, not mine. But if I or any of the men of the congregation here can be of any assistance to you, if today is the day of salvation in your life, today that you have decided to become a child of God in the truest sense of the word and be baptized, we can help you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've got the stepping stones to start. You start a journey that'll terminate in heaven. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. Would you come to Christ as we stand and sing?